Welcome to the Youpreneur Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Straub. The Youpreneur Podcast is in partnership with Score Broward, which is a nonprofit that's been helping entrepreneurs and small business owners start, develop, and grow their businesses for more than 52 years. The Youpreneur Podcast and Score, we interview influential entrepreneurs and executives here in Florida about their success. We'll gain insight into their lives, the struggles they've faced, how they've overcame, and advice they can give to people that are starting a business or getting into their industry. So if you own a business in Florida or you're thinking about starting one, this podcast is for you. Welcome to our next interview with CEO and founder of J Hospitality Group, Mark Falsetto. J Hospitality Group runs and owns Rock Burger, Taco Craft, Pizza Craft, Henry Sandwich Shop, and bars such as Apothecary, amongst others. This conversation was wide-ranging, talking about opening up your first restaurant, the trials and tribulations that go along with that, to scaling concepts and brands. We went through some successful failures, along with talking about some wins. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. So you have a ton of concepts, Taco Craft, Pizza Craft, Rock Burger, Apothecary, just to name a few, and mostly in Florida, but I know you've been around for a bunch of different places. Besides your restaurants, what's your favorite restaurant?
Well, I'm pretty specific where I like to go, but right now my all-time favorite restaurant in Fort Lauderdale is Cafe Moderano. So Steve's a buddy of mine and Moderano when I want to go for that kind of food. And I'm also a big fan of Runway 84. So those are kind of my two staples.
So you like Italian killer?
Yeah, Italians and steaks. I keep it pretty simple in my wheelhouse.
Nice.
Prime chops and pastas, you know?
Well, Moderano's is a Philly guy. So it's funny, my wife, when she was pregnant with our last child, that was her guilty pleasure. I had to go to Moderano's like twice a week.
Well, that's not
she
so
wanted
bad.
Like the cheese steaks every right, time. Exactly. Like, yeah. It was absurd.
Exactly.
It was absurd.
Cheese steaks and red wine, right?
That's right. Perfect. She couldn't do the red wine pregnant, though.
Right.
So I know you were spending time in Orlando. You're originally from Canada. How'd you choose Florida to really start your business interests and your concepts? What made you decide to go, in particular, South Florida for the restaurants?
Well, you know, I moved down when I was 15. So my whole family moved down from Canada, from Ottawa, Canada, to Miami, Fort Lauderdale. And my dad was always in the hospitality business. So he came down here to work with his brother in the hotel restaurant business in Miami. And then after I graduated high school and college, I decided to plug my roots down here.
Nice, nice. So there's a lot of people that want to get in the restaurant business. And it's kind of like guys want to do something with cars or bars. So any advice you would give someone that's thinking about getting in the restaurant business besides don't do it or consider it? Because I think it has a high failure rate is the perception of it.
Yeah, it's one of those businesses with a high failure rate. I think it's like 80% fail the first year and then the remaining 60% fail the second year. So it's tough to get out the first 22 months.
Yeah.
And you're working on single digit slim margins. So it is a tough business. But, you know, go with your gut. You know, I would not listen to the advice of friends and family. I would just go with your gut. And then also, you know, in starting a restaurant business, a lot of people fail to recognize the restaurant business is actually the finance business. It's actually accounting is the hardest part of the restaurant business. So a lot of people can put out a good plate of food. A lot of people are great chefs. A lot of people are hospitality driven and can handle the customers. But at the end of the day, it's all numbers. It's your lease is the most important asset that you have. So, you know, understanding finances, accounting, food costs, labor costs, all those small intricacies of the business.
It's interesting you go through that. I think most people that get into any business, they have a certain, let's say they like making pies. They want to open up a pie shop. They think that it's just about the good pie. And from what you're saying here, there's all these other aspects of the business that are really important. How did you find some resources to learn that side, right? Because clearly you like food, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, of course.
So how'd you end up starting to learn those other aspects of the business? Were you always an entrepreneurial? Did you get into it later?
Yeah, so a couple of different things. I went to school for finance. So I have a major in finance, and I also owned a promotion and marketing company throughout college. And I put myself throughout university through my promotion company.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't really have any help from any family or anything like that. So I've always worked for myself, and I, you know, always been entrepreneurial deep at heart. But when I got back in the restaurant business and owning my own restaurant, you know, I did a lot of research and looking at a lot. There's a lot of resources out there that show kind of industry standards and benchmarks where you need to be with either your food and labor and your rent. So I kind of just kind of did a lot of research. And the most important thing is the business plan. So before we opened the first restaurant, which was Rock Burger in 2010, I've been working on my business plan since 2008. So my business plan is like 250 pages, a lot of projections, a lot of research and detailed in the food costs. So yes, getting back to it, you can make the best pie and you can sell that pie for $10. But if it costs you $12 to make it, you know, you're dead in the water.
Yeah.
So you really have to understand the finance. And that's where a lot of these, you see a lot of top chefs and big guys opening restaurants, but then they fail because they don't understand the finance business aspect of it. Because at the end of the day, the restaurant business, either a pie shop or a cookie shop or an ice cream store, all sounds good on paper. At the end of the day, it's a business.
Yep.
And like any business, you know, got to make it profitable.
So what are some of the myths that people have going in the restaurant business that you think are worth debunking, or even bad advice that you hear for people that are getting in your line of business?
Well, so Jerry, a couple of different things. A lot of people will open up that bar or restaurant thinking it's just a social thing to hang out with their friends. And, you know, it's just going to be one big party and one big dinner party every night. And I was, I want to say maybe at the beginning, I was also a victim of that. You think it's going to be a big party every night. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business. So people think that it's going to be fun. You're going to be drinking with your friends and giving free food away and hanging out all day. But that's the biggest myth. It's the opposite of that. It's a business. Yeah. And don't drink while you're at work. And, you know, focus on the actual ins and outs of the business and the numbers. And
yeah,
that makes sense.
That makes sense. So when it came to you starting to think of all those aspects of the business, the leases, the finances, putting together that large business plan that you put together, was there people behind you that were helping you? Were you kind of just Googling stuff, listening to books on tape, sure, or reading stuff? How'd you even start to get there? Obviously, you have that degree in finance.
Yeah.
You ran a business that was probably kind of figured out on your own in college, which learned a little bit. Mm-hmm. But now you're about to go throw some money, sign some long leases, maybe borrow some capital from people.
Yeah.
How'd you figure all that out? Where'd you go to get your advice? Or was it, and you said your father was a little bit in the business. Was he a help at all?
Yeah. So a little bit of all of the above.
You know?
So obviously Google and the internet was probably the one of the biggest catalysts that helped me launch the concept part, right? So I started researching what's working in New York and LA and Vegas and started dialing in all the exciting concepts that were happening around the country. You know, Fort Lauderdale 2010 didn't have a gastropub or didn't have a craft beer bar. So we were about 5 or 7 years behind the curve.
Yep.
And we still are. We're 10 years behind the curve.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. So a little bit of that with the internet, kind of understanding what's happening in other markets. And then I kind of just reached out. I was really surrounded by a good group of people. I worked with my father. So he's been in the restaurant business for 50 years. So I worked with my father and learning the back of the house and the ins and outs of the food and the little nuances of the restaurant business.
Yep.
And then also leaned on my uncle a lot. He's a real estate developer, hotelier in Miami. And I picked his brain on kind of the real estate side of things. And I'm also a real estate brokerage, and I had a brokerage in Miami. Yep. So I really understood the real estate and the aspects of the real estate side of things. And then just trial and error with the capital and bringing investors. So I kind of just picked my brain and, hey, how did you do it with your business? You know, so some people were doing debt and equity. I talked to some guys who were doing all equity. I talked to some guys that were borrowing money, just straight up hard money.
Right.
So, hey, so I did a combination of all of the above.
So I want to spend some time talking about the financing side in a second.
But, yeah, we can get back to it.
But let's take a step back on the concept side. So I just want to understand your processes, how you got there, because I think that's a hard part. People have an idea of what they want. They want to own a restaurant. They want to have a bar. They want to start a business, whatever industry it's in. And they're thinking about a name and they're thinking about that, but they're not thinking about the large business plan or the amount of detail that you did to determine what's the right concept to open in what location.
Sure.
So talk me through a little bit about that process of how you came about. Rock Burger was your first one in 2010?
I had a restaurant before called Primo's. I still have it today. Primo's Italian Kitchen in Miami. And that was the first one I did that one with my dad and my uncle.
Yep.
And then I went out on my own in 2010 and I created Rock Burger.
How'd you get to the point of thinking of from the brand to the location? Because what I thought was really interesting is you ended up opening a bunch of different concepts all in downtown Fort Lauderdale on one street and kind of revitalized a certain area where a lot of people would want to spread out geographically to go across. You decided to own your backyard and get very comfortable in one location. So I'd love to hear kind of that process of how you decided on the concepts you were opening. Is there a process you go through with it?
So I have a kind of a multi-step process.
Yeah. Be curious.
So I'm a creative guy at heart, you know, and at the end of the day, everybody knows your strengths and weaknesses. And my strengths are, I love creating. I love the food aspect. I love the design aspect of the restaurant.
Now, does that creative side come from your mom? I know she was a
Come from my mom. My mom's a professional artist her whole life.
I've never seen you at Art Walk.
Yeah, and, she's a professional artist. And that's kind of really helped me. So I kind of skip the design aspect of the restaurants. I go right to the architecture. And that's where I really have a pulse on things, kind of design, flow, vibe, energy. So I kind of learned a lot of that from her.
Sorry, I cut you off. Go back to the process on kind of where you're at with the concept.
So there's no right or wrong formula, but I kind of have my own formula. So first of all, listen, I got a folder full of concepts at my house, right? So I've been working on concepts, burgers, this, that, high-end Asian, Mexican. So right. I have all those things I've been working on. But before we pick a location, before we catapult that concept, I worked it backwards. I like Fort Lauderdale. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. I want to come back up from Miami and do something in downtown Fort Lauderdale. I felt it's better to be a little bit bigger fish in a smaller pond at the time.
Yep.
And I looked at Fort Lauderdale and I just said, hey, downtown, it's all bars, kind of these old grungy nightclubs. Nobody was doing anything cool with the food. And at the time, 2009, 2010, Los Solis was going through a transition and nobody really wanted to be on Los Solis. And I was like, you know what? This area is edgy and it doesn't have anything. So I kind of look at the market and what's the market missing? And at the time it was gastropub or gourmet burgers. And then after being on the street for 2 years, I looked around. And I said, wow, there's no big sports bar or big sporting club or like kind of what they have in New York, kind of like sports bar that has high energy and turns to a nightclub. So you have the ale houses and those type of places. But where's that niche, you know? Like Bounce in New York. So I said, let's take the corner and let's do Public House. There's nothing like that. It was a huge success. We had a big run at Public House. Then after being at Public House, you know, I'm looking across the street and said, hey, Mexican's hot. Nobody's doing kind of artisan tacos at the time. There's nothing like that downtown as well. And that's how Taco Craft became. So then within our company, we just kind of said, hey, Second Street can be our kind of test model.
Yep.
And see how it's working there. And then as the concepts were working on Second Street, we expand them to other markets. Then I went back down to Miami and said, okay, Rock Burger's working. Let's do Rock Burger Miami. Let's try Taco Craft Miami, that neighborhood. And we kind of did the same thing in SoMe. We have three concepts clustered next to each other in South Miami.
Yep.
Rock Burger, Taco Craft, and we have a little speakeasy bar called Mercado Negro.
Yeah.
So we really like the South Miami market. You're working in two markets, you know, see one concept maybe doing better than the other concept or trends change. And then we decide to expand one throughout other markets throughout the Florida.
So talk me through that part of the scaling process. So you have Taco Craft, Pizza Craft, you got Rock Burger. You decided to go Rock Burger first with going through it. And you've had some fits and starts with Rock Burger.
Yeah.
One's worked out, one hasn't. You waited to the end at least one. So talk me through some of those failures on the scaling.
Sure, yeah.
And then now you're about to scale out Taco Craft and kind of go all sure. in on that and big on that. And talk to me how you got to a point where you're, okay, this one's actually working on the scaling side.
Sure.
So the pros and cons of both, the failures and the successes of the scaling.
Yeah, I think you kind of look at those, you know, peaks and valleys, right? So the restaurant business, you know, unless you're like an old-fashioned steakhouse and you're in New York and you're there for 60, 70 years, the restaurant business really changed now. The consumers really changed. So a concept or a brand is very hot for, I think, a shelf life of like 4 to 5 years right now.
Yeah.
And people are actually getting bored with certain concepts after 2 years. You have some guys in New York that are changing their concept every 16, 18 months now.
Same owner, just
same owner,
the
rebranding.
Concept, just to re-bring people in.
Yeah. So, you know, listen, the burgers had a really, really big run.
Yeah.
And we expanded very quickly. We expanded very quickly, very fast, you know, 4 units in, I think, 6 years. So one every year, year and a half. And these are, you know, these aren't just little franchise. So they're big full service restaurants. And I think the expansion, the timing of the Rock Burger expansion just kind of was on the downturn of the burger trend, as well as the diner's kind of palate change, looking sort of maybe something a little more healthy, a little bit less heavy. The whiskey and bourbon trend down here is not like it is in up north or in Chicago and stuff like that. And we were watching our Taco Craft concept running right next to it, just, you know, flourishing, more sales, the different consumer. A lot of repeat business, 76% repeat business on the data every week on the customers. So we look at that model and we're like, okay, that's time to grow that model. So as with Rockburg, we had a couple leases coming due, 2 locations, Gulfstream and downtown Fort Lauderdale. The leases were coming up and we didn't decide to renew the leases. We decided to focus on the Taco Craft brand. That's where we're at today.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned 76% of repeat business. Is there certain key metrics that you're looking at the businesses that are helping you make those decisions? Is it just straight profit? Is it margin? You know, do you
what
have
margins? This is the restaurant business.
Do you have leading indicators that kind of tell you where the business is going to kind of tell you where to double down?
Sure. Yeah. I look at a bunch of different things. So obviously top line sales, I look on year over year sales, and we were in a restaurant boom from all the way up to 2015.
Yeah.
Even though the economy is going well, the restaurant business has been in a restaurant recession since 2016.
Yeah.
The general consensus, you know, I think it's 3 or 6% average across the United States on restaurant sales versus sales. So if you have a concept that's either staying the same or increasing sales every year, so that's one indicator that I look at is revenue.
Yeah.
And then I look at revenue split. How's that breakdown? Is it food and compared to liquor? And certain concepts do much better. And you're looking for a nice flow, maybe like a 60-40 flow of food to booze.
Yeah.
Okay. So I look at that. And then we also look at the repeat business. So the metrics now are amazing. We can see how many times a customer comes back through their credit card data or through other analytics, right, on the Wi-Fi. And
it's crazy the amount of data we have to make decisions that we compared to even 10 years ago where we were at with businesses.
So listen, so there was a manual stuff. I went through the growing pains and, hey, if I could go back, maybe I would have went with one brand and have 20 of that right now.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm a creative guy and I like to create some more concepts. But now with the data and so many resources available, it's making it a little bit easier to make some strategic decisions, even as it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's always evolving.
So let's take a step back. You're opening up Rockburger to begin with. You know, advice that you would have to people thinking about starting any business or the restaurant business around how do they pay for it? Is it borrowing money? Is it friends and family? Is it worth taking on investors and losing ownership? You've probably structured a number of different ways throughout your period as you open up different concepts. Any advice or thoughts you have around that?
You know, it's probably start small on the first one would be my biggest advice. And that's what we did with Rocker. You know, we built the whole restaurant for $80,000. So, you know, at the time, I didn't have a lot of money and we had to buy the existing business. So we bought the business from somebody. We had them hold a little note and we went ahead and everybody put in a little bit of cash flow. And I did that one with four buddies. So four buddies put in a little bit of cash and we opened the restaurant. So I'd probably say the advice would probably start small.
Yeah.
I gave equity probably in the first one. But as you get more sophisticated, you could probably do some debt, maybe a preferred return, accelerate distribution to the investors. So I don't think there's any right or wrong way of skinning the cat. I think I've done every way right now, but probably would not give up as much equity moving forward. And I wouldn't give up any equity. Just try to keep as more debt or more limited equity.
So who are the people who are telling you that you're wrong? You've built some success now. Everybody. Your life's going at this point, you know.
Yeah.
You got a lot of people that that depend on you, a lot of employees that depend on you and that. When I found that people start to achieve success, people are hesitant to say this is a really dumb idea or, hey, you're being an idiot. Do you find that at all or not really?
You know, obviously, listen, when we first started, everybody was saying you're crazy. You know, you're going to open up downtown Fort Lauderdale. You're going to serve $15, $20 Kobe burgers, you know, $6, $8 craft beers. You know, we're used to Bud Lights or whatever they're serving down there. So listen, there's always going to be haters and naysayers and people doubting what you're doing. So kind of what I do, I don't listen to anybody. I listen to my gut. I kind of put on blinders on. I don't listen to anybody. This is what we're doing. If you don't like it, you don't have to be involved.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff, the negativity and a lot of the stuff that people were doubting me was a lot of friends, a lot of family, a lot of people just didn't understand what we were trying to accomplish. And I don't think they still understand what I'm trying to accomplish. And, you know, and people feed off negativity. So I just try to surround myself with positive people and just keep moving forward.
Who are the three most influential people to you in your life, would you say?
Well, listen, I think that question kind of always changes, you know.
Yeah, it ebbs and flows throughout.
Yeah, exactly. So like who was most influential me throughout college or throughout my real estate career might be different than who it is right now.
Yeah.
But I keep my circle tight. I don't, you know, the influential people to me is I lean towards family a lot. So my father probably being my number one. I lean on him, but he's not a finance guy and he's not a, you know, super sophisticated businessman. But he understands the life and he understands hospitality and he's been there, done that. So I lean on him a lot. Right now in my life, I got a beautiful girlfriend that's super smart and she's an entrepreneur as well. And she's very influential with me right now. I'm into my real estate stuff and I lean into my uncle a lot.
Yeah.
And then even some of some new relationships I've met and learning a lot from Anthony and Pat with the Anthony's guys because they've been there, done that. So a lot of influence and a lot of positive people around me. I don't really go to the celebrities and the Gary V's and all that stuff. You know, I do once in a while, but you know, deep down, my close circle is who I let influence me the most.
You mentioned about the haters and naysayers in that, but I've seen your social media side and you've kind of blown up the personal brand too. You know, there's a lot of people that are interested in what you're doing.
Sure.
But that also breeds a lot of haters on that side too.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't understand, you know, what goes into that. But
yeah, well, talk about the personal brand side because I think people struggle with, as a business owner, is it, do you make it about the business? Is the business and personal brand something you don't even separate anymore? Is it kind of completely tied in together? I'm curious on your perspective.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple different models, right? You could look at, you know, maybe David Grubman in Miami and Groot Hospitality. So he has Liv, Komodo, and all the restaurants. So it is about those brands, but it's also about his personal brand because he created those brands. And on mine, it's both. So, you know, we have a strong presence, social media presence, strong focus on the brand itself. Obviously, the brand's number one. But I think everybody has a personal brand. And in this day and age with social media and Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, no matter what your niche is, if you really want to get to the next level, people are really investing in you. So your personal brand is just an extension of your business and it can be kind of help your business grow as well. So why not grow your personal brand as well? So for me, I'm not a one trick pony. So I'm in real estate. I like to create, design, consult, build restaurants, run restaurants. And, you know, I like to travel and eat and stuff too. So, you know, building my personal brand's kind of attracted a lot of people locally. We have a lot of people that follow us on Instagram that like our posts and follow the food pics and all that stuff. I believe my personal brand has really benefited my business side for sure.
Talk about the Taco Craft growth, because I think that's the part you're betting on right now. And that's kind of the one that looks like it has the biggest potential expansion. You brought in some good partners even to help you with the expansion, I think are good strategic partners. Can you share a little bit about how you're going down that path? Because you got a good life now. Why do you want to complicate it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, you got a nice life and live pretty comfortably. But listen, I want to build something and see it grow. And I want to take the business to the next level. And you know, when you really look at the concepts and where the trends are going, and I think we've created something super special with Taco Craft. Taco Craft itself has, we believe, a lot of legs. And we've had a lot of interest from, you know, private equity groups and groups around the country. So when you start seeing outsiders from other states, either Connecticut or guys from Vegas, and they're really looking at your concept, you start dialing in on it. And then partnered up with some great local guys, Anthony Bruno and Pat Marzano here, and the founders of Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza.
Yeah, they just had a big exit too.
They had a huge exit. Yeah. They exited, I think, twice, once in 2012, and then they exited again to Elk Hatterton in 15 or 16.
Good for them.
Yeah, and Elk Hatterton, one of the largest private equity funds in the world. They have, like, I think, 200 brands and I don't even know, $80 billion under assets or something crazy like that. Yeah, so, you know, I respect their model. I've always admired their brand, and Anthony's was always one of my favorite restaurants. Anthony's Cold Fire Pizza, I just told you I love Runway.
Yeah.
And guys I looked up to. And then just last year, we had an opportunity to get together and do something special. And we've hit it off. And now we're going to put a team together to kind of grow the brand throughout Florida and then hopefully nationally.
Yeah. So how do you start to put together that brand and that business model? Because it's separate than, hey, I'm just opening up a restaurant with a couple buddies that invested in me now. And now you're talking about scaling a business across multiple states, bringing in a strategic partner, knowing that private equities are looking at it, possibly for you either later to have a really good brand on your own or get an exit yourself or find some other strategic partners and take out some of the equity that you have.
Sure, sure.
Talk about how now you're evolving yourself as a business person to get to that next level.
Sure.
How's your head going around that? How are you starting to kind of get your information to make those decisions?
So I've seen a lot of people try to scale, fail. I've seen a lot of people that have been successful in scale. And the one common denominator that I've been seeing is people really understanding their strengths and their weaknesses.
Yep.
So in my case, and or in our case, because I have a lot of great guys on the team, understanding those strengths and weaknesses. So my strength would be design, creation, and stuff like that. But it would probably bring it in some key guys that I, you know, before you think you do it all yourself.
Yep.
And then you get to a certain level, hey, we're doing 10, 20 million sales. I can do it with just me and my buddy, me and my corporate chef, me and my partner. So now where we want to go, we need to hire some key guys. So bringing in some regional managers, some really good guys. The financial aspect is huge. So bringing in big controllers and really putting the team together, because in my opinion, you know, the team is the core to any business. If your team is not solid, you don't have that foundation, where can you grow? So, you know, you got to build a foundation and the head's spinning, but I think expanding hyper local. So start local and just kind of expand out in a big circle.
Yeah, and clearly that concept worked for you beforehand, right? You did it in downtown Fort Lauderdale where you owned your backyard before you decided to go expand out. So take the same concept you're doing just on a bigger scale with one concept and be able to scale it out on that part. So tell me your most memorable day of your career.
Oof. Let's say I've had a lot of ups and downs in the restaurant business. But when it comes to the restaurant business, I think the most memorable day is always – maybe not just one specific day, but it's always that day that you cut the ribbon at the restaurant is in my mind is always that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not just, and even fast for a little bit, it's always that first day open to the public. And the most memorable day to me is seeing the look on the customers' faces and the employees' faces. And you're like, wow, look at all these jobs we created and look at all these customers that are super happy and everybody's having a good time. Because at the end of the day, I'm in the hospitality business. So there's a lot of options out there for consumers. There's a lot of options for, you know, diners. So when that consumer's in your restaurant, you just look over and you see them smiling and laughing. It's either they're on a first date, you know, they may be on a anniversary, a honeymoon, and maybe six guys that, you know, going out on a bachelor party or a girl's night out, whatever it is. Yeah. And you see them laughing and having a good time. You're like, wow, I created this moment for them because I'm creating a moment for those people.
That's
awesome. What really makes you, I got goosebumps talking about right now. That's what keeps me going. So I love people just to, you know, have a good time in the restaurants and seeing the everybody enjoying working and, you know, it's just kind of that whole, it's a whole vibe in the, and that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
So the first time that happened, obviously, when we did Rock Burger and opened up and it was a really good opening and every other restaurant since, you know, and that's kind of the most memorable moments is that first kind of opening night at either being store one or store eight.
That's pretty cool because you started the conversation today around taking 2 years, 250-page business plan, going through all these concepts, doing all this research, people telling you you're crazy to be able to do this. And then you cut that ribbon and then your whole idea that you had in your head comes to fruition.
Yeah.
And you actually cool seeing it having an impact on other people. So very cool. I think it's a very cool way to end the conversation today, for sure. So I appreciate you taking the time. I think there was a ton of nuggets that hopefully people can get out, not only just starting the business, but also thinking how to get the business bigger. Congrats on the success, Mark.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate being here, man. I appreciate you listening to the Youpreneur podcast. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and also share the podcast for people you think might find it interesting. Along with that, if you're an entrepreneur or thinking about becoming a business owner, a great resource to take a look at is our partners at SCORE, where you see retired executives being able to help mentor new budding entrepreneurs. You can find them at score.org, or in particular, we're in a partnership with Broward SCORE if you're in South Florida. Along with that, check us out on our Instagram. It's Youpreneur. That's Youpreneur with a U, not Y-O-U. That U stands for the University of Entrepreneurs, here to be able to give you and learn from the best and the brightest of entrepreneurs here in Florida. I appreciate you listening. Have a great day.